Hikantra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Hikantra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're diving into a subject that, well, fundamentally reshaped the 20th century, the history of fertility control. Our source material is the really insightful book, Contraception, A Concise History by Dr. Donna J. Drucker.
And this isn't just a list of dates and inventions, is it? Our mission today is really to explore why controlling fertility has been such a powerful social and political force.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about technology that changed how we think about family, work, gender, everything. Dr. Drucker makes this really bold claim. She argues that the ability to control reproduction is revolutionary, like on par with the printing press or the internet in its impact.
Absolutely. You could argue it's the cornerstone of modern gender equality. Think about it. It rewired economic structures, changed demographic patterns globally. It's so deeply tied into our ideas about health, freedom, personal identity today.
Okay, so let's talk about the author who's guiding us through this, Dr. Donna J. Drucker. She's a historian specializing in the history of technology, medicine, and gender. Affiliated with Technische Universität Darmstadt.
Yeah, and what's important is her background. She's not just a medical historian.
Right.
She brings this really valuable interdisciplinary view. So she doesn't just see, say, the pill as a chemical. She looks at contraceptive devices as artifacts. Artifacts with social lives.
Artifacts with social lives. I like that. So it's not just an inert tool. It's something that changes society, but is also shaped by society, by power, by politics.
Precisely. Her background, including work like the classification of sex, means she goes beyond just the medical breakthrough. She asks, you know, who holds the power when these things are designed and rolled out?
Which leads us straight to the book's central idea, and this is really the aha moment. Contraceptive technologies are never neutral.
Definitely not. They're tangled up in all these societal struggles over gender, autonomy, state control. Drucker's core insight really is that every single method has this dual legacy. It's a powerful tool for individual freedom, for liberation.
Right.
But at the same time, it can be and often has been an instrument for social control, for corporate profit, even state coercion.
That duality is key. And the book traces this chronologically, doesn't it? Starts with early barrier methods, moves through the grassroots activists.
Like Margaret Sanger.
Exactly. Then the pill, the IUDs, sterilization. And critically, she includes abortion as part of this history of fertility control.
And it's got that crucial global perspective, looking at the U.S. and Europe, but also India, Korea, and significantly Puerto Rico.
Okay, let's start maybe before the pill then. Late 19th, early 20th century. What was that like?
Well, suppression is the main theme there. Contraception was largely illegal. You have laws like the Comstock Act in the U.S. really clamping down.
It's Comstock Act. Remind us what that did.
It was incredibly powerful. It classified information about birth control and the devices themselves as obscene materials.
Wow.
Which meant you couldn't mail them, couldn't even really send letters about them. It essentially criminalized communication.
So that suppression kind of fueled the underground, the grassroots movement. Figures like Margaret Sanger.
Right. Sanger saw firsthand the devastation of uncontrolled childbearing, especially among poor women. But, and this is where the history gets really complicated.
Yeah.
Her powerful feminist arguments for autonomy got tangled up with the, well, the deeply problematic politics of the eugenics movement.
Okay, that's a really uncomfortable intersection. Does Drucker say the eugenics part was necessary for the movement's success or just sort of ugly baggage?
Drucker argues it was pretty deeply woven into the fabric of the early movement, even if not everyone agreed. There was this focus on limiting reproduction among populations deemed undesirable, often poor people, immigrants, even while they were fighting for women's liberation from constant pregnancy. So that tension autonomy for some, control over others, it's there right from the beginning.
And that tension just explodes when we get to the pill, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The development itself is a fascinating story. You've got Sanger with a vision, Catherine McCormick, the wealthy philanthropist who funded it.
The money behind it.
Yeah. Oh. And then the scientists, Gregory Pincus and John Ruck, who actually made it happen.
But this is where the story takes a really dark turn, according to Drucker. The pill, this symbol of freedom, has a deeply troubling origin.
It really does. Drucker lays out how its development relied on these large-scale clinical trials in Puerto Rico in the 1950s, on poor, often uneducated women.
And these weren't just standard trials.
No. They were given incredibly high doses of hormones like three times what's considered safe today, and often without really understanding what they were agreeing to. There were huge issues with informed consent.
They reported serious side effects, right? Nausea, blood clots, even deaths occurred during the trials.
Yes, but those were often dismissed by the researchers, called psychosomatic, or just minor issues, basically brushed aside to keep the research moving forward.
So the pill becomes this liberating force for millions, mostly in the global north.
Mm-hmm.
But that liberation was, quite literally, built on the exploitation and suffering of marginalized women elsewhere. Drucker calls it medical imperialism.
A very clear case, yeah.
Okay, so if the pill highlights issues in testing, what about the IUD, the intrauterine device?
The IUD brings up different issues, mainly around deployment and government policy. Its big appeal was that it was long-acting and, crucially, user-independent. You didn't need to remember a pill every day.
Which sounds convenient.
It does. Yeah. But that convenience made it very attractive to governments and big foundations, like the Rockefeller Foundation. They were worried about the Cold War population bomb narrative.
Ah, the fear of overpopulation.
Exactly. So they pushed these aggressive IUD programs, especially in places like India and Korea. It became a tool of state population control policy almost before it was really established as a personal choice for women.
And that push, that rush, did that lead to problems?
It led directly to probably the most infamous cautionary tale in contraceptive history. The Delkin Shield disaster in the 1970s.
Right, I've heard of that. It was bad.
It was a catastrophe. A specific poorly designed IUD rushed to market by a company cutting corners. It caused thousands of cases of severe pelvic infections, infertility, septic miscarriages, even death.
Just horrific. Due to corporate negligence.
Absolutely. And it basically destroyed the IUD market in the U.S. for decades. It became this potent symbol of the physical risks women were often expected to bear when profit trumped safety.
There's that pattern again. Exploitation in testing, negligence in manufacturing. Where else does this tension between autonomy and coercion really show up?
Sterilization is a huge one. Tubal ligation for women, vasectomy for men.
Which is actually the most popular method worldwide today, right? Surprisingly?
It is. And for many people, choosing sterilization voluntarily when their family feels complete is the ultimate act of reproductive freedom.
But there's always a but in this history, isn't there?
Always. Drucker meticulously details the absolutely horrific history of forced sterilization, particularly used as a tool of eugenics.
Targeting specific groups.
Yes. Targeting marginalized communities. Black women, Hispanic women, Native American women in the U.S. were coerced or outright forced into sterilization procedures well into the late 20th century.
So the exact same medical procedure can be a fundamental right for one person and a profound violation for another.
That's the clearest example of the book's central paradox. It depends entirely on context, consent, and power.
And finally, Drucker includes abortion in this history. Why is that important?
She argues very deliberately that you cannot understand the history of fertility control without including abortion.
How so?
Because it functions as an essential backstop, a form of birth control when other methods fail or when they aren't accessible, or sometimes even when contraception itself was forced non-consensually.
So it's part of the same spectrum of reproductive decision-making.
Exactly. She frames it as fundamentally part of the wider ongoing political struggle for bodily autonomy. Mm. You know, contraception aims to prevent pregnancy, abortion ends one. Both, she argues, are deeply political acts connected to who controls reproduction.
That makes sense. It forces a broader view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so stepping back from the specific methods, what are the big overarching themes Drucker wants us to take away?
I think there are three main ones that really resonate. First is that core paradox we keep coming back to, the duality of liberation and control.
Right.
The book really challenges you to resist simple, heroic stories of progress. Every step forward in technology seems to come with this shadow side, this potential for control.
Okay, that's theme one. What's next?
Theme two is perhaps the most glaringly obvious when you look at the history, the gendered burden of contraception. Mm-hmm. Meaning the overwhelming focus, the research, the funding, the responsibility, the side effects has historically fallen almost entirely on female bodies.
Yeah, that seems undeniable.
I mean, think about it. The relative lack of innovation in safe, effective, reversible male contraception beyond condoms and vasectomy, it's pretty stark evidence of systemic gender bias.
It highlights that ingrained assumption that reproduction is just women's business.
Exactly. And therefore, the burden of preventing it is primarily hers.
Okay, so duality, gendered burden. What's the third key theme?
The third is that contraception is always a political and economic tool. It's never just a private, personal medical decision between a patient and doctor.
How so?
Well, its availability and use are constantly shaped by laws like Comstock or court decisions, by huge funding from foundations like Rockefeller pushing certain agendas, by organized religious opposition, and of course, by the pharmaceutical industry's profit motives, which, as we saw with the Delkin Shield, can have disastrous consequences.
So understanding fertility control means understanding it as a political battleground, essentially.
Fundamentally, yes. Which helps make sense of a lot of the debates happening right now.
Drucker's writing is really pointed. Let's share a few of the core ideas, maybe rephrase slightly, that capture her perspective.
Okay. The first one really nails that central conflict. The history of every contraceptive method is a story of conflict between its potential to liberate an individual and its potential to be used by powerful institutions to control populations. That just sets the stage perfectly.
Yeah, that sums up the critical lens. What about the gender bias?
For that, there's this. The search for the ideal contraceptive has overwhelmingly been a search to fix, bypass, or control the female body, while the male body has been left largely unmedicalized. It's such a clear statement of that imbalance.
It really is. And the third key idea connects prevention and termination.
Right. We cannot understand the history of contraception without understanding the history of abortion. There are two sides of the same coin, the struggle for bodily autonomy. That insistence on a holistic view is vital to her argument.
Okay, so this history is complex, sometimes disturbing. How do we actually use these insights? What are the real-life applications for you listening right now?
Well, first off, making informed healthcare decisions. Knowing this history, remembering the Delkin Shield, remembering how women's side effects were dismissed in the early pill trials, it empowers you.
Yeah.
It empowers you to be a more critical patient, to ask tougher questions, to understand that medical science isn't perfect, it has biases, it has made mistakes, and to really advocate for your own health and well-being.
That's practical.
What else? Second, it really helps in fostering dialogue about shared responsibility. That history of the gendered burden gives us the context, the language, to talk about sharing the work, the costs, the side effects of preventing pregnancy more equitably within relationships.
It provides a basis for that conversation,
yeah,
which can be difficult.
Exactly. And third, thinking bigger. Developing a critical global perspective, knowing about the medical imperialism in Puerto Rico or the coercive population control programs using IUDs in India, mm-hmm, it equips you to look critically at current global health initiatives, to question narratives about overpopulation and always ask, whose freedom, whose autonomy is really being prioritized here?
Those are really valuable takeaways. Thinking about the whole deep dive, what surprised you most, or what's the final thought you're left with?
For me, it's Drucker's bold comparison, putting contraception up there with the printing press or industrial machinery, not just as a health tool, but as this massive historical force that reshaped civilization.
Yeah.
It demands we treat it with that level of political seriousness, not just as a quiet medical matter.
I agree. And for me, the lasting insight, the thing that ties it all together, is the profound importance of bodily autonomy. That has to be the ethical foundation.
Absolutely.
The technologies are just tools. They can be complex, powerful, even dangerous. But it's only a real commitment to social justice, to human rights, to individual choice that ensures these tools are actually used for liberation and not for control.
Well said. It's that constant vigilance over autonomy that matters most.
A really essential history to understand our world. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.